Here we go. It is hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for some NFL True or Fart as we reflect on the NFL wild card weekend that still hasn't wrapped up. You got Steelers and Texans coming up here at 7:15. So best of luck to all those Houston fans out there getting ready to enjoy this competition. Here's Wolchuk with the details.
Let's do it. If it is your first time playing NFL True or Fart, I think it might be our first edition in the new building of True or Fart. 877-881-1053. We want you to hang around, play along with us. I'm going to give you a statement, and you're going to agree, true, or you're going to disagree. Well, that's a fart, and thank you to Robert Flores for birthing the name.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or Fart, false. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
So let's start tonight, shall we? It's the Houston Texans against the Pittsburgh Steelers. True or fart, Gavin Dawson, tonight will be Aaron Rodgers' final NFL game.
I don't think so. All the reports over the weekend were that the Steelers are open-minded to it, and the vibes have just been immaculate. Like Rodgers and Tomlin have shared after games, you know, it just seems like if they had missed the playoffs and maybe not won 4 out of 5 down the stretch, then the season would have been bad enough that maybe he would have said, you know what, I'm out of here. But unless he's embarrassed and hurt and shut out, I just don't see any way that positivity. Plus, there's not better options in free agency. Mm-hmm. They don't have a great draft pick. You know, I could see them using a second half of the first round pick on Simpson or Chambliss or maybe somebody else that emerges and see Rodgers as a bridge quarterback. I just don't feel like Aaron's ready to walk away yet.
Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dawson has a pretty good grasp on this entire situation.
Thank you very much, Eric.
You're very welcome. And I will fart on that because I do think that. That, I mean, obviously there's a chance the Steelers just go ahead and win the game tonight.
They could win the
game. That's not a foregone conclusion that the Texans are just going to win. But even if the Texans do win, it does feel like Aaron Rodgers is ready to give it another go.
All right, that's a fart and a fart. Are we going 3 for 3 with the farts?
You're saying that this is his last game?
That's what I'm saying. It's his last NFL game tonight. Aaron Rodgers, we're witnessing the end.
Yeah, I think the Texans are going to make him look really, really
bad and bad tonight.
Yeah,
and
not
decrepit.
Not moving, not being able to make plays. I think this is going to be a really, really rough night, and I think this will be the final one.
Wow, so we got a true, a fart, and a fart. I like it. They might make that too tight helmet pop right off of his head. I'm going to agree with the fart, but man, I'd like it to be true. I'd like him to just go ahead and hang it up. All right, let's go to Carolina. Where here was Dave Canales in his post-game speech, the future is bright.
If they made Josh Allen look bad, what do you think they're going to do to this guy?
Oh, they're going to make him look horrendous.
That's just kind of what I think. I think this is where he says, you know what, this is the game where I'm not mobile. I tried to get rid of the ball, couldn't do it, couldn't block. Couldn't attack him like I wanted to. I think this is the end.
You think he's just going to make that choice now? You don't think he's going to go trip balls somewhere and have a vision of himself? He's going to turn back the clock in a ball-tripping excursion in his own imagination.
Texans,
and he's going to be like, I can do this again.
Texans are going to get after him.
They're going to get after it.
Yeah.
It's going to be
very venomous Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
I think because of Rodgers' ego, he's going to look at it like, well, they played great defense, and they showed me a cover 2 shell all game and took away what I do well, and that's the exception. But things are going fine with me. Like, adversity doesn't bother Rodgers. He's got a level of arrogance that's obnoxious for most people.
He kind of likes getting his ass kicked a little bit.
There's something weird about it, you know? Like,
kink.
He could have 180 yards and they win and be like, yeah, there's nothing else I could have done.
I hate to say this. And I'm not cheering for this at all.
Okay, don't lie to me.
He might not finish this game.
Oh, no!
Should the Steelers even play him tonight?
Should they just not play him?
No, they're in the playoffs. You got to play.
Okay, very good.
All right. There we go.
Okay, one of the feel good stories. One of the feel good stories about this team. And speaking of that, Brian, they have their left tackle. You know, Broderick Jones got hurt. Their left tackle, a former D3 quarterback, that beefed up and went to Montana. He's been on practice squads for like 2 or 3 years, and was not going to have a career. But he was forced into service, and he started like 4 games now, and has been good.
Wow.
He has been good.
He's about to get a healthy helping of Hunter and Will Anderson.
Whoa. Might change tonight.
Good luck.
Good luck. All right, let's go back to Carolina. Here was the post-game Dave Canales speech. You grade the speech, then I'll ask you a Panthers true fart.
Guys, this is proof positive right here. It's about belief. It's about believing in what we have right here, okay? Regardless of what happened in the course of the game, early on or whatever, we just kept battling because that's who we are. That's our identity, okay? Now, we know we got some plays that we would love to have back, but listen to me, man. This season was about straight-up grit and belief and playing together. You guys talk about family. You break down on family all the time. This is what family looks like. You just keep battling the whole way. I'm so proud to be a part of this group, guys. I'm sick that it's over. I'm sick we can't go do it one more week. That's all it is for me. I just want to get back to one more Monday, one more Wednesday, and get on the grass with you guys. How fun was this last week? Playing for everything right in front of us, guys. We don't ever have to feel this again. We don't ever have to leave it up to other people. We don't have to put it into other people's hands if we handle our business, guys. This was an amazing opportunity for us. I'm sick we didn't get it done, but I'm proud as hell to be your coach. I'm proud of what we've accomplished together.
Let's have fun and play together.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when the season's over. I mean, at least they did fight. You know, at least it wasn't like they got shellacked and they got to go in there and be like, guys, we are an 8-win team that didn't deserve to be here.
I mean, I could go true or fart. They're never going to feel that pain again. They're never losing another playoff game under Dave Canales, the Carolina Panthers. That'd be a fart all the way around.
I lean fart, yeah.
But I do have this, Eric. True or fart, Bryce Young's about to get a top 10 quarterback contract this offseason.
Ooh.
They're committing to Bryce after what he did this year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this offseason, isn't there more time here?
These quarterbacks,
I mean, do they even have the fifth year? Doesn't he have like one more year until the fifth year option? They would be insane to do that. I mean, they would be if they
played
like
3 years, so you have to commit to the fifth year now. You don't get to go the fourth year and then decide.
Okay,
they did. They committed to the $27 million fifth year option.
Yeah, I mean, a top 10 quarterback contract.
We gotta have some compromise here. You know, from quarterbacks that are kind of managing it,
I
need some help. There's no way I'm committing to Bryce Young at this point.
I'm not committing. Yeah, it's tough to commit to
him
in general.
You just play the franchise tag game?
Let alone with a top 10 deal? There's no way. I would, and I'm going to fart on that because I just think Carolina, they can't be that crazy.
I mean, if any quarterback signs, does it not just end up being a top 10 contract just because it's – the next signing?
Well, it does.
It doesn't have to be top of the market necessarily.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think any quarterback signs now and it's not top 10 if they're like the next franchise guy?
Yeah. No, not really, unless you can convince him that he's more like Baker and some of these other.
You take a Sam Darnold type deal.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that where, hey, you still got paid, bro, but we're not paying you top 10 quarterback money.
We're not going $35-plus million a year.
Not doing that, no. Fart.
100% no.
It's a fart.
That's a fart for me, Wolchuk.
I think they're going to do it.
Yeah, I do too. I think this is true.
I think they're going to do this. This is Dan Morgan, right? General manager.
It is Dandy Dan.
Dan Morgan has to know better than this.
Yeah, I think
I'm with you.
I think he's probably watched his team from last year and he's kind of figured out if I can get him some more pieces, if I can get him a legitimate running game, if I can continue to add weapons to it. I kind of feel like they're going to believe in this guy. I think this is true.
Oof. All righty. Okay, Brian, true or fart?
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles will have a new head coach and quarterback in 2 years.
2 years?
Yep.
I'm going to say fart.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's true. You know, with the track record of moving on when they did Eagles, right?
Yep, the Eagles are going to have a new head coach and quarterback in 2 years.
Yes, I think this is the beginning of the end, and by the end of next year, it's going to be, you know, Sirianni's had two disappointing seasons in a row, and, you know, I think we've seen Howie Roseman's aggressiveness and what he did with moving on from Carson Wentz with Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, one way or another, that thing's going to be moving on, and I'm fascinated by this because they're the dead money that they've pushed into voidable years is insane. Like right now, just to cut A.J. Brown would be a $72 million hit against their cap. It's a total of $500 million of dead money in voidable years. This is what they did, selling 10% of the team and pushing all of the cap hit into the future. So it is possible that the Eagles are not really going to be able to sustain this unless they really draft their balls off and nail budget free agency, or unless they want to do it again and take their operating profits and reinvest and push even more money out into the next 5 years. But, you know, I that would be an unprecedented move. What they've already done is unprecedented. But there is a chance that the Eagles are going to, after this great run, are going to enter an extended 3 or 4 year depression before they even have a chance of competing.
Eric?
Yeah, I'll go true on that. I think the bottom's going to fall out, and Howie Roseman is not here for patience. He will move on very, very quickly. We've seen it time and time again. So I think it's a no-brainer.
Right?
I already said fart.
You did fart.
Yeah. I think the one thing is that Howie will kind of figure out what they need to do differently. I think they, you know, it's really hard to fire a coach that, what, last year won a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Been to 2-1-1.
Yeah. I think that now if you want to tell me 3 years, okay, yeah, I would say. But I think he's bought himself some. This guy's took his team to a Super Bowl, you know, what, three times now?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, twice?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
All right, Gavin, the 49ers are making a Super Bowl run, true or fart?
You know, I'm gonna bet on the field. The 49ers are a really interesting team. They have to win. The coaching staff has to be awarded for the job that they've done. Considering you lose Debo, Ayuk, you know, just implodes on your roster. You've spent a lot of the year without Trent Williams, and to keep this level and all the injuries they've had defensively, like, it's incredible. But I think what we saw this past weekend was the end of the line for them, and they were fortunate to get to play an Eagles team that was so fatally flawed.
Eric. Yeah, I agree. I would fart on that. I mean, now they got to go to Seattle.
Yeah.
To Seattle.
We just saw them do that.
Yep.
And Seattle's defense put the clamps on them in an all-time sort of way. That defense for Seattle is too much, and the Niners are just too banged up. And I would be surprised if they can go into Seattle and win that football game.
Yeah, if the Seahawks, really all you have to do is beat two teams you play twice a year, I think. I kind of feel like the Rams are going to find a way to beat the Bears. And then it's about beating the 49ers and then beating the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. Now, this is setting up great for the Seattle.
And this is the Niners now on a short week. Like, the upcoming the schedule is so weird.
And Kyle Shanahan put in that request, I guess, and they still got – like, you had the Rams and the Bears, who both played on Saturday.
Yeah.
It made just logical sense to have them play on Saturday this week. That's a week. Instead, they put Seahawks and 49ers on Saturday, so now the 49ers have a short week. They really got screwed on this one.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Rams and Bears, like you mentioned. They both played on Saturday. Now they're going to play on Sunday, so they get an extra day. The 49ers beat the Eagles on Sunday, and now they're going to have to go to Seattle on a Saturday, so they get the short week.
Short trip, though. It's not like they're flying across the country.
But still, I mean, the Bills beat the Jags on Sunday. Now the Bills got to go to Denver and play on a short week on a Saturday. Yeah. And the Broncos and the Seahawks had the bye week. Like, they're super rested, now both teams are playing on short weeks. That feels like what are we doing in NFL?
They're protecting their number one seeds. That's what they're doing. They're making sure that the teams that won 14 games
Saturday game.
Yeah, have the possibility of being in the Super Bowl. That's what they want. They don't want a 9-7 Packer team or whatever to get in the Super Bowl.
The AFC,
they're protecting their number one seeds what they're doing.
I kind of get it.
You have enough protection. You have enough protection with the 2 weeks off.
They're making sure that they have the best possible matchup they can get. That's why they do it. They're not thinking about these teams. They're thinking about who's the number one seed and who gives us the best matchup for a Super Bowl. That's what they're thinking about.
I mean, that's a bit silly. It should be competitive balance, right? I mean, you should want the Saturday team.
What's competitive balance? They make you play a game on Thursday, then come back and play a game again the next Thursday.
Right, but in the playoffs, you have two teams that literally just played on Saturday. Schedule them to play on Saturday. Now, I get the AFC, you're kind of screwed because you have the Monday night game. Yeah. So that one I understand. Like, a team's going to be playing on a short week, most likely, anyway. But in the NFC, like, for the 49ers, there wasn't really an excuse for this. Yeah. They should have gotten the Sunday game.
Should have gone and won the game at Seattle the first time they had a chance. They got the number one seed. You know, I mean, I'm not arguing with you guys. I'm just telling you the league is trying their best to make sure that their number one seeds get through. That's what they're trying. Those are the games they want. I don't think they want the sixth seed playing the one seed. I don't think they want that.
Mm. Well, all right, let's keep it going. True or fart, the Rams. Matthew Stafford's finger injury is going to keep them from making the Super Bowl. True or fart?
Yeah, I guess I would go back to my premise on San Francisco, and I'm going to bet the field here. Even though I'm confident in the Rams, I think what we saw over the weekend showed us that maybe home field advantage means a little bit more than what we thought. At least I thought. And yeah, a finger injury for Stafford, I think that puts a number of things into play as far as not being able to get the velocity on it or ball sailing on you and, you know, interceptions happening. So I would say right now that's a safe bet.
Man, I don't even think I would blame it on the finger necessarily. I think I would look at the Rams defense right now and wonder what the heck's going on. You just gave up 31 points to the Panthers. If they don't get to where they want to go here, I think that's going to be because the Rams' defense was letting them down. I mean, Stafford's been an all-time tough dude. Like, he has battled incredible. Through injury after injury after injury. I just think that when you're giving up 31 points to the Panthers, you're kind of looking around going, what are we doing on defense right now?
Yeah. I'll say this. You play a half game of football against the Rams, they're going to beat you every single time. That's all the Bears have been doing all year. Playing half games of football and finding a way to win in the second half. That comes to an end. You're going to have to play a full game against the Rams, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it this weekend.
Yeah, I'll fart on that one as well. All right, last one here. Eric, Justin Herbert has to leave the Chargers in order to win a playoff game.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
His three playoff games have been bad. He has completed 54% of his passes. For a combined 674 yards, two touchdowns, four picks, 13 sacks, passer rating 78.4. He's averaging 6.36 yards per attempt. That's in total, all three of them combined.
I think there's some to the pressure on this one, man. I think it's getting to him, and maybe at some point in his career he can mature enough to have it not bother him. But I would flip that and say the Chargers need to get rid of Herbert if they want to win a playoff game.
Ooh.
Wow.
No, I mean, I still think that like Jim Harbaugh, they just have a bad luck situation. Like their injury stuff, like kind of like the Niners, like they always just get depleted.
It's a Charger thing, man.
And if they're going to stick with Greg Roman as the play caller, I think that's going to be trouble for him as well. But to win one playoff game, like you're telling me you have to go to a different franchise to just simply win one playoff game, I'm farting on that. Like he can win one in a Chargers uniform.
I think a lot has to do with Jesse Minter staying. I think that defense, I think that's an absolute must for him to have. I think having a new offensive coordinator, maybe a little bit new, a different attitude. I think having those offensive tackles back and maybe addressing that, maybe addressing more offensive line play would probably be what this team needs for him to win a playoff game. But losing both your tackles and the way that he was hit, once all those guys went down, there's no way he was going to survive this year.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
We're under an hour from kickoff now at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Of course, you're going to have The Fan after dark, 7 to 11. You're going to get to listen to Fred and Blake while they take in the evening sports action and have a chat with you. Hodgepodge coming up next, Chief.
Yeah, we got some college football for you, and we will prep our bodies for kickoff. Texans Steelers next year in the nation.
Here we go. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And the segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's the Chief with your evening hodgepodge.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Plenty to get to right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh. Could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone
well,
listening
to the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket Sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
And they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
Shout out to the Wieners Circle.
They're dialing it up pretty nicely
Hell
for
yeah,
Bears fans. If the Bears win the Super Bowl, the Chicago Hot Dog Stand, the Wieners Circle, will give away free hot dogs to everyone at the parade and hot dogs for life to all Bears players.
Ooh. Wow. That could get messy.
Come on
expensive.
Now.
I think that sounds like a great idea. You see some of these business owners that are keeping it together on a budget and some big lineman hits them for 12 dogs with the kids one day.
Yeah, it's going to happen
real quick.
That's going to happen.
You're like, that's $80.
You know, my favorite playoff business owner story comes from Philadelphia, who had to report some Niners fans. Niners fans ready to go to war with a local Philly bar. They're
you
called
let him in.
Ladder 15 is the bar. And apparently,
a fireman's bar?
Yeah,
who are these savages?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the background is on the name choice, but it's a local Eagles bar called Ladder 15. And there was a large group of 49ers fans. It was like 200 road-tripping fans that were basically trying to get an opportunity to like basically take over this bar.
Mm.
And the bar owner was like, no, like we gave very little consideration. We can't in good conscience host anything that has to do with the Niners. We're Birds fans till the end. We bleed green. We back our team even when it comes at a cost. Only reason I wish you luck is because the 49ers are going to need it. Enjoy your time in the city of brotherly love. That's the email response. And he's
a nice looking bar.
And he put the screenshot of the email on the bar's Instagram page because he thought the Eagles fans were going to love it. Of course they did, but then the Niners fans, the thing goes viral.
Okay.
And so
how good food.
He starts getting a bunch of voicemails. So he says, we got a voicemail to the bar. Guy calls in and he says, hey, I want to order a cheesesteak. And after you get it, shove it up your ass.
Wow.
Then a few minutes later, guy calls back, leaves another message. Hey, I want to order two more cheesesteaks. And I want you to take them to the steps of the Rocky statue, walk up the steps and shove them up Rocky's ass. So then the Niners fans just took to Yelp and gave like 1-star or 0-star reviews for the guy's bar. And so he says he's up late. It's like Wednesday night last week. And it's like 10:30 at night. And he just hears his phone and the notification. It's just 1-star review after another. This place is S. Stuff like that. One girl said she got dragged out of the bar by her hair into the street. I just went through and started clicking report review, report review, report review. It took me 45 minutes to an hour to get through all of them. It was like 120 reviews. I had to report them all. That's what the Niners fans did. Wow. To try and get back.
Well, Brian and I are not surprised that San Francisco would engage in classless behavior.
No, man, they tried. They death threats to us.
Oh,
that?
I know. Yeah. It got bad.
It got bad.
Yeah.
By the way,
that was just McCaffrey's
bar,
mom.
Yeah, this Ladder 15 place, it's right by where I used to live.
Yeah. Oh, really?
17th and Callow Hill. Yeah, it's right there.
You got to do something. You got to build your own plan here. You can't expect Philadelphia to do something like that. Now, if Jerry Jones owned the bar and it was Highland Park, you're damn right he'd turn into a San Francisco bar for the right price. But, like, actual people that have sports passion and care about their team wouldn't do it.
I know. It's like, why would you even think this would be, like if the roles were reversed, is a local Niners bar going to pick up the phone for Eagles fans to take them over?
No.
That's a death sentence in your own backyard.
Yeah, you rent a hotel, a banquet room. You roll about 20 tables out there. And get a couple of TVs, maybe a projector, put it on the big screen.
There you go.
You're good to go.
The projector life is strong.
What are they doing? What are they doing in Philadelphia anyway? Were they trying to pregame? What are they trying to do?
Yeah, I guess they were just trying to have like in lead up. I don't even think it was for the game itself. I think it was just something in lead up. They were trying to have some type of gathering.
Okay.
And they wanted to take over this particular bar. And it's like, dude, you're insane for thinking that's even close
to
reality.
Man, that's a lot
reality.
Of beers. They must have had a hell of a year to turn down that business, to be honest.
And he said it. He said, like, this is costly, but big picture, how much would it have costed him in the long run if rabid Eagles fans are driving by and seeing Niners Red taking over your local Eagles bar.
Yeah.
That's a death sentence.
I mean, could you feign ignorance there? Like, I can't believe what's happened here. These guys, they won't leave.
Yeah. You could try. But Eagles fans, I don't think are going to have any sort of, like, they're not going to appreciate that at all. I don't think you're going to be able to get back in their good graces if you pull something like
that. And this might have put them in legendary status. This might have moved them up the sports pub power rankings quite a bit in those Bird Turds fans' minds.
Yes. Yes. The bond is real between Ladder 15 and Eagles fans.
Real quick, can I circle back about the hot dog thing?
The wiener circle?
Yeah,
we got a butthurt 817 guy.
I saw the other day where some people are saying they're deep fry hot dogs now. Just put straight, you know, no breading or anything, just straight into the fryer.
So it's not bunned up, it's just a fried
hot
dog?
It's just a fried hot dog. They're saying that's kind of the route to go now. I'm thinking about trying it just to see.
Yeah.
But it was like, yeah, it was just straight into the fry grease. You know, the hot dog itself. It's a place in Chicago, I think, does this.
I'd love to wrap it in some biscuit dough, you know, to that point. That might be the home run, like a homemade corn dog, essentially. Biscuit dog.
Yeah.
What is that? It sounds amazing, though.
It does sound amazing. All hands on deck. It looks like a Pittsburgh area school already announced they have a 2-hour delay tomorrow, so everyone can focus on the Steelers game tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Blue collar town. A lot of dads are going to be case and a half beer in. You just give the kids a break.
Dads driving their kids to the drop off line tomorrow. What are we doing right now? I think we feel pretty good about how Broadus feels about this game. Texans.
I do like the Texans in this one.
Texans are favored by 3, I believe.
I
think they go ahead and cover
I think they make this quarterback look very ordinary.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers, we know about their home Monday night dominance.
Yep.
Texans in the playoffs on the road, 0-6. This would be their first road playoff victory. I think the Bills had that yesterday in Jacksonville. It's like their first road playoff win in 30-something years. Pretty amazing.
Yep.
But this will be the first road playoff win for the Texans if they can get it done tonight.
This will be the first time the Steelers could potentially win at home or win any playoff game in 9 years. In the 6 playoff games since, they have scored 0 points in the first quarter. They have given up an average of 38 points and lost by an average of 21. So they have gotten absolutely smoked.
Wow.
Pretty much. And the first couple were Roethlisberger, but the last 4, you know, you get your Mason Rudolphs and your Kenny Picketts and your Russell Wilsons and things like that. But I mean, the Steelers, you know, are in their own little personal hell. Not quite as bad as the Cowboys are, but when it comes to postseason success, they're about to be leading the league in last time they won a playoff game.
I think I'm seeing this correctly at BetMGM. The over-under for Aaron Rodgers' rushing yards tonight. What do you think that is?
1.5?
Yeah, it's
like a half
yard.
It's
a half yard. It is a half yard.
Yeah, I mean, like, how can he run? I know.
It's the most bet player prop right now is Aaron Rodgers over 1.5 of a rushing yard.
I mean, look, we saw him on one leg in 2014, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it's playoff totally time different. Now, dude. You don't think he's going to go steal a 2-yard first down on 3rd and 8?
He had a touchdown run last time they were in Chicago. Remember they were showing the highlights of the Bears-Packers?
Yep.
And, like, he had
playoff
a touchdown.
Playoff Rodgers ready to run around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the most bet prop right now, that he's going to get a single yard rushing the football tonight.
He had a rushing touchdown against Baltimore, but against Detroit, he literally rolled out and then got to the sideline and just melted there. Because a linebacker was tracking him. He didn't want anything to do with it. But I think you're onto something. Like the playoff adrenaline, like LeBron can look mighty old, and at this point when he gets into the playoffs, he's still gonna look old. But there was a stretch from like 36 to 39 where he was like, all right, it's the playoffs, guys. I'm back in my prime.
Right.
Does Aaron Rodgers get adrenalized? Does he become more explosive? Does he manage to escape pressure and make big plays? Because I think that's the biggest difference in him right now. When the play breaks down, he's like, crap, I got to check down.
Mm-hmm.
Does he tap into something tonight to prove the haters wrong one last time?
Can he be as good once as he ever was? And in this particular bet, you just literally need it for one play. Go rush for 1 yard, bro.
Go, Chargers,
come on
go.
Now. I'm going to be monitoring that tonight. That's pretty amazing. Okay, what would you do if you're this guy?
I wouldn't.
He, back in... It's early in the season. He put $500 down for the Hurricanes to win the Natty. Okay? And that's going to pay out.
Cash out.
$50,000.
With a win?
Or, yeah, if they win and he holds on to the ticket. Or he could cash out for a little over $12,000 right now.
Ride it.
Let it ride.
Ride it.
Let it ride. One thing I learned from Landman, you let it ride.
There was a chance you weren't even going to be in this thing, and all of a sudden, I think fate is on your side here. The fact that you're playing, that you went and had to play on the road at Texas twice, you got wins there, and the fact that now you're back, you got this thing to home with your fan base now that could travel or just be right there for you.
Yeah,
yeah. This is, you're sleeping in your own bed. You're practicing at your own facility. Fate is lining up for this football team. Let the 500 ride.
And they're giving you 425% on your money. $12,000 or $50,000?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a no-brainer. The money line's plus 256. So if you would lay $10,000 in Vegas right now, you would only be getting $25,000 of winnings. This is, I think the math is saying go for it, Bain and Mendoza. Now, if you are struggling financially right now, this is an easy decision. You're taking the $12,000.
Yeah, there is a little bit of case by case here. Where are you at? Or like, you how much could $12,000 change everything for you? Yeah, that would be crazy. Because $12,000 would get you one decent seat, is what it would do.
Yeah.
So, buy a ticket.
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma right there for that guy. Now, you also have, it looks like, good health updates for the Hurricanes as it pertains to the Natty. It looks like Mezidor's going to be fine.
How about all our corners?
Yeah, the corners that were banged up in the game. Now, you have one that is going to be suspended for the first half, right, because of the targeting call.
Right.
One of their better DBs has been out for a while, hasn't played at all in the postseason. And I think it's still a coin flip whether or not he plays. But one of the guys that got hurt in the game, it looks like he's going to be fine. So, for the most part, healthy. Indiana, super healthy. I mean, gosh, they had that game wrapped up in no time.
This is just like when I remember when we went to the Super Bowl, the injury report has nobody on it because nobody wants to miss this game.
Nobody wants to miss this game.
You will tape it up, go play, whatever you have to do. Nobody wants to miss this game.
Your LSU Tigers got your quarterback, Sam Leavitt.
Oh, Sam Leavitt. I've heard he's a bit of a jerk.
Well, I do think there are some personality quirks.
It's kind of the buzz that's going around. But I think he's really good.
It's a great marriage for him and Lane.
It's true.
I'm just saying the last quarterback we got from Arizona State won the Heisman.
Well, Leavitt's got a chance.
Oh, that's true.
Because I think the talent is there, and clearly Arizona State was a playoff contending team with him. Without him, they were terrible.
Poochies, as you like to say.
Poochies. Yep. We love Poochies.
Yeah, I mean, that's
say it,
so we spent $5 million on this guy probably?
Yeah, I would think. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm guessing it's probably about
$5 million.
Do we
beat Tennessee for this guy? What do we do?
Yeah, Tennessee's been trying all day, even with the announcement that he's committed to LSU. Tennessee's been trying and trying and trying, but it doesn't look like that is going to work for them. So as it stands right now, it looks like Sam Leavitt is going to be the quarterback for the LSU Tigers.
Excited for Sam.
Ty Simpson, Bama's quarterback. He declared for the draft, but he continues to allegedly be receiving NIL offers from Power 4 programs trying to keep him in college for 2026. Three SEC schools have offered at least $4 million, allegedly.
Yeah, here in Tennessee.
Another program has gone as high as $6.5 million. So, I mean, he's going to have some thinking to do. You've seen it with Cam Ward. You've seen it with Carson Beck, two quarterbacks that declared for the draft. And then before the deadline, they rescinded on that and they actually both went to Miami. I think Miami might be the team that's trying to offer him $6.5 million right now because they're kind of dead in the water at quarterback as it stands right now.
I really need a guarantee that I'm going to be a first-round pick, but beyond that, I need to get a good feeling that it's a team I want to go to, a favorable situation. Yeah. There's just too much money in college now to leave.
I know.
And they get real mad at you if your team sucks and you're the quarterback and they're paying you like that. Be careful.
Plus, he's one of these guys that hasn't started a lot of games, right?
No, he's only started, gosh, under 15 starts in his career?
Mitch Trubisky-like.
So
I mean, him and Dante Moore.
If you could go make $6.5 million, and
the college lifestyle is going to be better.
Way better. Yeah. Way better. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I think you got, what, like two more days? Isn't it the 14th?
I think it's the 16th.
16th? Okay, yeah, so in the next few days, maybe Ty Simpson gets sucked back into college football.
I could be the fountain of misinformation right now. Check that, homie.
It's sometime this week. It's only a few more days for these guys to officially declare for the draft, and then you can't turn back.
Oh, there it is. All right. Thank you, Chief. Yeah. Evening sports hodgepodge with you here in the G-Bag Nation. Very smooth. Yeah. We're known for our segues. And we'll segue into the Fan After Dark coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation. I'm a fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And we're about now to chat with the Fan After Dark. Fred and Blake coming up from 7 to 11. Gentlemen, how we doing tonight?
Feeling spicy, excited, and enamored to be with you boys.
Wow, some great descriptive words.
You get elated.
What are we doing here tonight with the football game on? Once again, more football while you guys are on. We getting updates or are we ignoring it?
No, you're getting updates.
You're always getting updates.
You're getting updates.
Right now I'm 5-0 on my spread predictions going into tonight. So I can be 6-0 tonight. So you will see a celebrated Blake because I'm feeling good after my woeful regular season.
Who you got?
I have the Steelers covering, Texans winning.
I thought you had the Texans winning.
I do.
No, but you had the Texans covering.
Steelers covering.
Are you sure about that? Because I'm pretty sure you took the Texans.
Look at the paper.
After the game, we'll know for sure.
This just got interesting.
No, just look at the paper and you'll see.
I have the paper. And in fact, I've got it right here.
Is it making money on this?
Like, no, just me and him just going against each other.
Just getting juicy.
Looks like
with
he's
it.
Pulling up the receipts.
Go
as
ahead,
we speak.
Pull up the receipts. I said Texans first, and then I said.
Look, we'll go ahead and use you. What does that look like to you?
Live coverage.
HOU.
Yeah. Okay. We'll play back the footage.
Play back the footage all you want. I mean, it's Houston. Footage. I'm the only one that picked Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I'm the only one that picked Pittsburgh.
I'm taking the Steelers tonight with you, Fred.
Thank you.
I'm believing in the Monday night thing, even though I think Houston should beat their ass.
I don't think it matters what Blake did on Friday. I think he's giving you his updated take right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
And he's come on. The game hasn't even started.
Can you verify that he's 5-0? I'm looking for a hot pick.
Let's see here. He picked Carolina, Chicago. And mind you, we pick against the spread here on Fan After Dark. Carolina, Chicago, Buffalo, San Francisco, New England, and Houston were his picks.
Boom. The man is simply on fire.
I'm flipping to Houston, boys. Boom. Taking Houston tonight because Blake's taking Houston.
All right, riddle me this, Mr. Prognosticator.
Okay.
Will Cooper Flagg be a rookie all-star?
Oh, he'll be first team all-rookie. We got to be asking a question. What spot will he be on this all-star team? I think Cooper Flagg has shown enough. You hope this little dry spell of kind of under 20 doesn't continue long. But with AD out, not going to get Kyrie back. I mean, who's going to put up buckets every night? Nemhard, Clay, Christie? No, it's going to be Cooper Flagg. So I do think so, Gavin.
I'd like to make an announcement, too, for the scouting aspect. I know Scout Dawson over there.
Scout Dawson.
Blake has stepped up. He is going to be a scout with our program here.
Very nice.
Come on.
The position I gave him, quarterbacks.
All
right.
So he's going to become the quarterback expert.
So now I'm the one I can get yelled at.
I don't even need to look at him.
So now when we have discussions, our quarterback expert, we're all going to be scouting him, but Blake will be the quarterback expert.
Look at that.
And we'll see how he has, after this season, how he progressed.
What do you think of Mendoza so far?
Well, he's going to – haven't looked at him yet.
He asked me a position.
I said, okay, I'm going to give you the quarterbacks. I did that to Sean Payton
in
1998.
He turned out pretty good.
Look how that Sean worked Payton out.
He turned out pretty good.
He was getting coffee for everybody on staff, and then he can evaluate quarterbacks better than anybody.
Right. In a perfect world, OC for the Cowboys, Blake Elliott. Imagine.
Wow. I mean, look,
Clayton, coming for your job.
Put it out there in the universe, man. You can manifest anything.
It's a great way to tank, man. Go get you a top pick.
Come on.
Huh? Could you imagine Blake on the headset? Yeah, we're going to go ahead and put Blake in the booth. And matter of fact, we're going to go ahead and put Blake in the parking lot. All right? He's actually going to be calling plays from a walkie-talkie.
Did somebody, like, I don't know, Matt Eberflus or something as your defensive coordinator? I'm just spitballing.
I'd bring in Fred as my strength and conditioning coach.
Absolutely.
You look like you could be a strength and conditioning coach.
Oh, look.
We'll strength coach.
We'll chuck a run the O-line.
He can be your strength coach.
Sure the hell I can be the dietitian.
Strength manifestation coach. That's what Fred's doing. Okay. Nothing but good vibes.
We'll have Lucius as a team DJ when practice is going on and music and there's vibes going on.
1,000%.
We gotta keep team morale up high. We'll keep Shotty on the staff.
Hit a LA Live. Like
hit
LA
Live in between switching spots. Yeah.
Anything else to timestamp here before we roll out?
David Bierman from FanDuel is going to join us at 9 o'clock. Some things and maybe a couple things betting-wise to get geeked about next weekend.
What a name, Bierman. I think if I change my last name, I'm going to go Bierman.
That's not a bad idea.
Gavin
Bierman. Not a bad idea.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Master Control here. Just went 5 flawless like it was nothing. Thanks to Abradas and Wolchuk and Chia Follow. I'm Gavin Dawson. Fan After Dark coming up next. Have a great night, boys. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going on with the G-Bag Nation at ease.